O God, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. In our passage today, the Gospel of Mark introduces us to an unnamed woman who has been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years, suffered more under physicians to whom she had paid all of her money, and yet was only growing worse. This little information tells us that this woman had suffered tremendous physical pain, and we know that suffering cannot remain isolated. Such enduring pain can creep into every aspect of our lives, and it never touches one person alone. In this story, we glimpse a tangled web of suffering that gives way to hope and healing through a spirit whose determination offers a profound blessing to her community. With the information we have been given, perhaps we would first imagine the discomfort she had experienced for over a decade, the frustration of the daily logistics of dealing with such bleeding before modern hygiene, and the frail state she was in by this time. Perhaps at the beginning of her illness, people had sympathy and made an effort to spend time with her, encourage her that she would get better, that this too would surely pass. Friends and family would invite her over, but eventually they got busier and forgot about her silent, likely invisible torment. Most people accepted that after this amount of time, nothing could really be done about this bleeding, and her constant talk of finding healing was just getting ridiculous. Conversations with her grew uncomfortable, and so they were avoided, and gradually the invitations dwindled until she hardly heard from anyone. Trust began to dwindle, fear and loneliness crept in. When we hear how valiantly she has sought healing, we learn of the extraordinary strength of this woman. In a day when women were expected to be shy, modest, and quiet, and could be divorced for forwardness in public, she pursued doctors who promised a cure. This quest for health may have defied social barriers and drawn ostracism from her community. When most people would have given up hope, she continued her journey for healing. Perhaps she had a life that was at least comfortable financially at one time, but she had given all of her money to doctors who promised her to cure her, but only made her worse. With each new attempt, hope was mustered and then deferred. Those who were supposed to heal her body failed, and those who were supposed to heal her spirit not only failed to understand, but also cut her off and left her so very alone. As her isolation increased, maybe she felt that there was no one with whom she could share her pain, no one who understood this life forced upon her. Her suffering was done alone, so she held on to hope alone. Going into any town or crowd was a daily reminder of how alone she felt. A trial to see a community who did not help her carry her heaviest burdens. Over such a long period of time, she must have felt pain with her whole being, physical, emotional, spiritual pain in which her heart felt like it might actually implode with the weight of the burden she bore, when there was no separation between the hurt in her body, mind, heart, and soul, and the crushing load became all she knew. At what point did her hope begin to wither? Yet we know that somehow she clung to a shred of hope. And sometimes that's all it takes. To understand her actions that day, we return to the Hebrew scriptures that shaped the life of first century Jews. In Numbers chapter 15, the sons of Israel are commanded, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue cord on each tassel. You will have the tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord. The Hebrew word for corner or edge is kanaf, and they are told to attach tassels or tzitzit to each corner. In the first century, a devout Jew like Jesus would have worn a rectangular woolen garment as an outer layer, and each corner would have a blue tassel. This practice continues today in the prayer shawl that a Jew wears while he's praying, which has these same tassels on the four corners, eight blue strands with five knots, intricately designed with great symbolism. Over the centuries prior to Jesus, these tassels came to hold special meaning. First, as commanded, they were to remind them to follow the laws of God, not a legalistic idea, but rather that they were to set apart to live a special life, to live as God created them to, and in doing, to be part of God restoring the world. These tassels were believed to be the holiest part of a man, And legends grew among the people that great authority resided in the tzitzit of the wisest rabbis. One such legend came from Malachi, where it is prophesied that the Son of Righteousness would arise with healing in its wings. In Hebrew, the same word kanaf both means the edge of a garment and wings. So the legend arose that when the Messiah came, he would have great healing power in his kanaf, in the edges of his prayer shawl. Somehow this woman heard about Jesus and thinks that if there is any last chance of being healed, this is it. And so she musters up some bit of hope. She comes to Jesus, and in this display of faith, we see the only instance in the gospel where a woman seeks a miracle of Christ for herself. Maybe her faith in the healing power of the Messiah was great, or maybe it was just enough to get her up that morning. Against the dangers of approaching an unknown man in public and enduring more ostracism, her desire for healing won out that day. She takes the risk of approaching Jesus, and in one last gathering of courage, she grabs that tassel as he walks by. Mark makes an important distinction here. Her flow of blood stops, and she's immediately healed of her physical affliction. Now, this is certainly a miracle, but we now know that this woman's pain is far more than physical. Perhaps you've known a moment like this, though. All of a sudden, there is freedom, a turning point where, for the first time in a crisis, you can see a light at the end. But you also realize that there is now so much of you that is broken, and the road to healing will be so, so long. Jesus knows this as well. He knows that healing has happened, and he insists on finding the one person who touched him within a crowd that is literally crushing him. She came to him from behind in fear, but he calls out to her in the crowd, and she tells him everything, trembling with fear because this man might rebuke her audacity, but she tells her story anyway. The words of Jesus to her are powerful. "Daughter, your faith has made you well." The word Jesus uses here is different from the healing a moment before. She has been saved from an old life, a way of loneliness, pain, and despair. What Jesus knows was that this woman is not just a physical being. She had a soul which had been broken, and he wants to heal her, all of her. He commissions her to a new life. "Go in peace." The fundamental idea throughout Scripture is what God is working to restore for our world, in every one of us. The essence of this word is being whole and complete, a peace that is for the whole person, body, mind, soul, and spirit. This peace is not just the absence of conflict, but rather the creative, restoring harmony with our Creator and fellow people. Just as salvation from our old ways is an ongoing work of God in us, I believe healing for this woman must have been a process as well. This is rarely something that happens immediately. I believe Jesus offers this woman a new life to begin her journey of healing. A restored life for her would mean healing throughout a community. Many relationships would have to be reconciled, many friends would need to be forgiven, and her heart would have to learn to trust again. Her pain involved others, and a healed life requires returning to the bonds of community for which we were created. Just as her suffering was not isolated, so her healing wouldn't be either. The bold faith of this woman who sought a miracle for herself brought about a blessing for her whole community. I believe that in this story we can find our story. Where do we find ourselves in this story? I think sometimes we are those who are unmentioned, the friends and family of the woman who have let life distract us from having compassion on someone suffering close to us. And we are the crowd, too caught up in the drama to notice this person who is painfully alone among us. I think sometimes we're the doctors who tried unsuccessfully to heal the woman and instead left her without any money. In our deepest hearts, we ache to live out our vocation to help someone who is hurting, and we acted in good faith, but we fear instead we might have made the situation worse and have to live in the tension of pain we caused and hope that someone will heal them and redeem us. And sometimes we are the woman, broken and hurting deep in our soul. We've gone everywhere looking for healing, but actually we are looking for a healing which no one can offer, and we lost more hope each time they didn't deliver. We feel so very alone, and we are quickly losing all our hope. But finally, we are called to be like Jesus. We are called to join in God's great plan to heal our world, our church, our community, and ourselves. We know the God in the story who used some strings to bring this woman new life, and we can be sure that God will use anything to do the same for us. We are called to be Christ to our world, for every fiber of our being, down to the fringes of our clothes, to be consumed in God's mission to heal our world. The truth that I have learned is that really I am all of these people. I have been wounded and my heart and soul are broken, but my hands aren't clean either. I also have wounded, I've hurt those I love, and I've been part of creating pain in our world. Yet the good news is that God is saving us from who we were, from what we have done, from what we have done to others, and we are called to join in the process of healing. We are called to be wounded healers. And there can be no healing until we recognize each other as fellow travelers on the exact same road. We are all intimately bound together in this state, and we must take up the journey together. We are held together because we walk with God, who is love. Love that reawakens our hearts, love that revives our souls, and love that heals the broken bonds between us. It is on this journey that we find our life as a church, forgiving our wounders, healing our wounded, and letting those same people heal us. We are the church when we are traveling the journey of salvation together, and we must always remember that we are traveling. We do not look back to what we were, but we look forward to who we are becoming. We leave what God is calling us out of and walk toward together towards what God is calling us into. I believe we have some walking to do today. Who would like to come?